Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and every week I get to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs, business people, authors, speakers, just truly interesting people that I can find and who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice with us each week. And today I'm chatting with Kathleen Gage. She is a no-nonsense, common-sense speaker, author, product creation specialist, and owner of the highly successful company Power Up for Profits. I love that. Wish I'd thought of it. As an early adapter of online marketing, Kathleen is known for cutting through the fluff and helping people leave their leave their sob stories behind so they can stop focusing on the past and start looking towards the future. And she speaks and teaches about what she believes are the core elements of a successful life, and those are accountability, integrity, honesty, and living with passion and hope. She speaks and teaches about what she believes are the core... Oop, I already did that, sorry. I didn't drink coffee, Kathleen. I'm so sorry. Following a spiritual... It's going to be one of those Fridays. Following a spiritual awakening, she decided it was time to do something with her life and come out of hiding. And this started an upward trajectory over 30 years ago, leading to the creation of her first company, Street Smarts Marketing, in 1994. And I have to say, I've been following her around since those days. You didn't know I was a lurker, did you, Kathleen?
I've got another stalker. That's awesome.
You do. Since then, she has become a much sought-after speaker and writer, refusing to deliver what she calls, and I love this, boring-ass messages. And that's a quote. In this interview, she's going to talk with us about the connection between exercise and healthy eating and a profitable bottom line in business. And listen, I have been preaching this. I have a Facebook group full of virtual assistants, and I'm constantly telling them, get out from behind the keyboard, get up, move. It's a big message and one that we need to pay attention to. So, oh, and be sure to check out her book, Power Up for Profits, The Smart Woman's Guide to Online Marketing. You can find the link on her website or in the show notes. Kathleen, welcome, and thank you.
Denise,
I'm not normally this goofy. I swear I'm not.
Not a problem, because I think we're going to have a good time, and we can get goofy. And, you know, sometimes in business, goofy is good. So it's great to be here.
Well, I have got the corner market on that one today, but I'm so glad you're here. It's been a long time since we've spoken, and I swear to you, I've been following you around since your early days in online marketing. I've took a lot of my growth I can take and put it right at your knee because I have been following you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're one of the people that I've been on your list for a long, long time, and I'm careful about whose list I get on. You know, I don't want a lot of junk coming into my head.
You know, and that is so important that you recognize that, because we all need to recognize how much distraction is out there and things vying for our attention, which it's really interesting, because since the early days of being online and being known as an online marketer, things have dramatically changed. In the early days, I was one of the few women who were online and touted as an online marketing expert. And today, women are, you know, we actually probably outnumber the men as far as online businesses. And so there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of distraction, and really it's important that we get very clear on what's wasting our time and what's a good use of our time.
Exactly. And that being said, there's an awful lot of junk that comes through. I mean, people, you know, I'll skim through them and go, did you really understand what you were writing?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of it's just reworked bull. I mean, it's just reconstituted nonsense. And it's like, I don't think you're at the top of your game here. So I leave. You know, I will sign up for somebody's newsletter to see what they've got. And if they are not giving me true information, and I can tell, I leave.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's so interesting because there's been a few occasions where, having been online as long as I have, I've written a lot of information. I can't even count the number of articles, the number of interviews I've done, and easily I've done a few million words because the last book I did, Power Up for Profits, when I gave it to my editor, it had 95,000 words, and she drilled it down to about 65,000. And a few occasions I've actually been reading articles and I go, oh, this is great information, and then I find out somebody stole my information. And, you know, the one, it's crazy.
I'm not laughing at you. I've done that myself because I'll go back and I'll read something and I go, oh, man, that is good, and then I'll realize I wrote it.
Like, yeah, oh, and somebody stole it. And you know, and you can't spend too much time worrying about if your stuff is going to be borrowed, if you will,
right.
Because online there's really not a lot of protections, but the one thing that will protect you is to really be branded with who you are and be pretty transparent in what makes you different from everybody else. It's so interesting because I was talking with a client yesterday, and we were talking about what makes her unique in her industry, and she actually has been doing what she's been doing for about 40 years. Right there, that gives her a unique position because she's got longevity in an industry that most people don't last more than 6 months to a year. And so when you look at what your own unique selling proposition is, if you will, it really is about how long have you been doing what you're doing, what are the points of view and perspective you bring to the table. And for me, one thing I bring to the table is I just turned 61, and I'm pretty vibrant for my age. Actually, I'm pretty vibrant for a 20-year-old. And so I bring that to the party, if you will. And I also am starting to incorporate a lifelong passion that I've had, and I'm being much more visible around it, which is health and fitness. I'm actually using all the strategies that I teach my clients and I've used to build my own business. I'm using that for a parallel market and just testing it to see how successful can I make a different division, if you will, of what I'm doing by using social media, by using market presence, by using consistency in my marketing. So it's kind of interesting when people start looking at what makes them different. They really have to be able to differentiate themselves from every other person doing what they're doing.
Oh, I agree. And here's something that popped into my head while you were saying that, because you're a marketing queen. I mean, everybody knows that you are a marketing maven. So for you to step out into something that is kind of fitness related, you would think that there would be some resistance to that. But listen, my idea is that you are what you are. If your body is out of shape, your mind is out of shape. If you're full of inflammation and your brain is feeling soggy, it's hard to write or build websites or do whatever it is that you do. So you have to have that mind-body connection, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, this morning I did about a 4.5-mile walk. I do power walking, and I also do resistance training. I'm incorporating that back into what I'm doing. And I have seen a direct correlation between my efficiency in my business, my ability to serve my clients, and just my energy when I'm eating right and I'm being physical. And the challenge that we deal with today is that it is really easy to hide out behind the computer. And we can convey a certain message that may not be really congruent with what we're doing in our lives. And so one of the reasons I'm going so public with my interest in health and fitness, and I don't want to be touted as an expert in health and fitness, I just happen to be an entrepreneur who loves what I do, and yet I know that I can't perform at my highest unless I'm in top physical shape. And really it's part of my whole mission now is to show older women, and by older, 50 and plus, and really any age, but primarily 50 years plus, that you don't have to buy into the old belief that once you hit 40, once you hit 50, once you hit 60, you start going downhill. You can actually really be going uphill in a great way.
I think that is absolutely true. I mean, I can't remember the lady's name, but she just ran a marathon at 90-some-odd years old.
Oh, that was, okay, she was, there's a woman, what is her name, Ida Keelings, I think, she's 99.
Yeah, something like she runs.
And, yeah, she's 99 years old, and she, what she did is the 100 millimeter dash or something.
Right.
And she set her own world record in at the age of 97. And at 99, her goal is to beat her own world record. And there's another woman, her name is Yolanda Holdings, who literally does what's equivalent to a marathon a day. This woman is like crazy, crazy
in
marathoning. No, dead serious. Her goal is to actually hit 10,000 miles in a year. It's like,
oh,
wow, that's a good goal. But she actually got started as a result of both her mom and dad dying from complications with diabetes, and she kind of went on this mission to really look at what causes diabetes and how responsible are we for our own illnesses, and so she just went on this quest. There is another woman that I've been following, Ruth Heydrichs is her name, and at 47 she had been doing a lot of marathons. She actually was diagnosed with breast cancer and had a double mastectomy, and now at the age of 80 she has done I think 5 Ironman triathlons. She's done well over 100 marathons in the last 20 or 30 years. She constantly gets the gold medal, and she said the secret to that is just get old and show up and you'll get the gold medal because nobody else in your age group is going to show up. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But she's 80 years old, and she is rated as one of the top 10 healthiest women in the United States. And I'm like, this is amazing. So I look to people like that and say, okay, what are they doing that I can model so that I can have a vibrant life? And again, I don't want to be known as a fitness expert by any stretch of the imagination. I just want to be known as an entrepreneur who is in really great shape emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Right. And I think my point is that even 10 years ago, had you tried to branch out into this, it probably wouldn't have flown, would it? Because
probably
even 10
not.
Years ago, we were kind of pigeonholed. I mean, I was a web developer, and I'm still a web developer, virtual assistant, online business manager. But I don't think I could reach out right now and do something about health and fitness. In fact, I know I couldn't. I don't have that reach, but you can. And it's interesting that we can take this kind of spin, and it's not a spin, I mean, just kind of pivot, because it is who we are as entrepreneurs. I mean, we can only be as good at our business as we are in our own lives. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's
and interesting, I think people miss that. I think they just work and don't realize that.
Oh, so true.
Oh, gosh. I mean, look, I'm a high-functioning workaholic, and I have to really
I'm a high-functioning workaholic. Well, that's, you know, it's like we all have our diseases.
Right. It just sounds so
I think
much
we
better
ought to do a 12-step program for people who are workaholics. Hi, I'm Kathleen, and I'm a workaholic. And the first step is admitting that you've got a problem. And, you know, and
but
it really is.
It sound better than sociopath. I mean, really?
But, you know, when we can admit that the way we've set our life up isn't working, because really what a lot of people want to do is create a lifestyle business and be able to take time off and spend it with family, go on vacations, and if necessary, to be a caretaker. I know I went through that experience myself. My mom and dad both have passed away, and right after my dad passed away about 5 years ago, my mom became incredibly ill, and she had been an ill woman most of her life. She wasn't a very healthy person, and it just came to a head when my dad passed, and for 2 years I was her her caretaker, where I would literally drive from my home in Oregon to her home in Sacramento. It was a about 450-mile each-way drive, and I was constantly going down and spending time with her. She was in the hospital a lot, and my business allowed me that opportunity, and I'm forever grateful for that. It's so interesting, because prior to moving to Oregon, which is where I've lived for about 9 years now, prior to that, I was living in Utah. And in Utah, I did a lot of brick-and-mortar business, and I had just started really getting involved in online marketing a few years before I came up to Oregon. Well, when I came to Oregon, I actually thought I could replicate what I had been doing in Utah without really getting honest about the fact that I had been in Utah for 15 years, so I had laid a really solid foundation in the market there. Came up to Oregon, And I tried to replicate my brick and mortar business, doing consulting with brick and mortars and doing a lot of speaking. And I couldn't get business to save my life. It was like, oh my gosh. So what I did is I went 100% internet. And at the time, I was kind of frustrated. It's like, why won't people even talk to me locally? Well, I hadn't earned the right, basically. I hadn't laid a foundation. And looking back, I can see that that was the greatest blessing, because during the time that I was caretaking my mom, I needed to have the ability to just let things run on automatic. And I did a lot of product creation, and I had a membership program, so I had very sustainable revenue that allowed me to do what I needed to do as a daughter. And looking back, I have no regrets. I have to say it was really a blessing when I hit that wall. And a lot of times, Denise, in both personal and professional endeavors, when we hit a wall, we get really frustrated instead of saying, okay, maybe there's a reason I'm hitting this wall. Maybe I need to look at things differently. And ultimately, if we get really honest with ourselves, we can look at those periods where things didn't work out the way we thought they should, and it was because we needed to move in a different direction.
Do things ever work out the way you think they should?
Sometimes
I don't know about
do.
You, but well, not often.
Often, here's my belief, because I really think that left to my own devices, I will shortchange myself and I won't dream big enough. And for me, part of my spiritual practice is every day I turn my life over to what I call my higher power, God, universe, source. But every day I say, okay, I really want to be guided. Tell me what I need to do. Show me. Let me have the willingness to be willing to pay attention. And when I do that, my life runs really, really nicely. Now, it doesn't mean that it works out exactly as I want it to, but it oftentimes works out better than I could have imagined.
I agree with you. And I'm actually being a little bit sarcastic on my own behalf, because I'm a boss. I'm the oldest child. I'm bossy. So I'm always trying to tell me and everybody around me how to do things, how to come. I've gotten better about it. I have. I really have. But you're right, and I do the same thing. I mean, I wake up every morning and I stretch, and I stretch my arms up to God, to Source, to whatever you want to call it. And I just say, hi, thank you, welcome. You know, tell me what you need from me today. Tell me how I can be the best person that I can be today. And it does work out better. Before I started doing that, when I was just kind of stumbling my way through life, I ran into a lot of walls, and I hurt myself.
Absolutely.
In silly ways. But
Absolutely.
Now I'm like, do you ever listen to Sonia Choquette?
You know, yes. There was a period that what I like to do is when I go to sleep, I actually put a CD on, and it's
too.
A spiritual CD. And she was one
twins.
Of the people. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been listening to her recently, and I'll tell you what, she's kind of opened my mind to a lot of things that I knew. I just wasn't paying attention. And I think that's what it is that we do as entrepreneurs and as people. We know these things, and it's time to open up our, you know, our great big barrel of wisdom and share it. And that leads me to my next question about how do you understand what your gift is, because you talk a lot about this. What is your gift? And Kathleen, why do people have such a hard time not only understanding their gift, but then really working with it and accepting it? I mean, that's a big part of your book that really got me.
Well, you know, I think the question of why do people have a hard time understanding what their gift is that in the era I grew up, it was like you couldn't possibly live your passion and make money from your passion. You had to go get a job. You had to be there, you know, for 20, 30, 40 years, get the gold watch. And that was really the way that we were taught, is like you find a job and you stick with it for the rest of your life. Well, things didn't work out that way. And so part of it is believing that it is okay for us to be passionate about what we're doing and make a great living in the process. And now what was the second part of your question?
I think I don't understand. Well, I kind of do understand. People, once they identify their gifts, all of a sudden it appears to me, because I mentor and coach a lot of people, they're like, oh, crap, now what do I do? And it just floors them. They're like, okay, I've got this great gift. I have no idea what to do with it now.
Okay, and part of that is the believability. It's like, can I really make a living doing what I love? And it's also
fear
getting
factor.
Rid of the distraction. because there's a lot of distractions out there, and there's actually been studies done about how many of us now, we are bona fide ADHD. I mean, if we already had that going on, it's intensified, but for a lot of people, because of all the stuff with the internet, how everything is in sound bites now, and there's a lot of things trying to vie for our attention, that it can become very difficult not to give in to the distractions that are a part of our life each and every day. And so when I work with my clients, I really help them to identify, okay, what are those things that are really the time suckers of your day? Let's look at that and let's make a commitment day by day by day. It's really a matter of just for today, make a commitment to what you're going to do, just for today. And then tomorrow, make that commitment again. Have your big vision view of what you want to see happen in your life, and every day your actions will move you closer to that. And Jim Carrey actually did a talk about that, and he said that the reality is we only have this moment right now, and our decisions in this moment will create the life that we want or we don't want. And it's really a matter of getting honest about, are we taking targeted action towards the end result of what we're looking for? For example, for my 61st birthday, I participated in a marathon, and I had to train for that. And every day I would go out and do a certain number of miles based on what my coach told me that I needed to do. And there were a few days that I thought, oh, I don't want to go out and do this today, but I made a commitment. And if I wanted to really participate in the marathon, I needed to, on that particular day, get rid of all the distractions, get rid of the things that were trying to talk me out of doing what I knew I needed to do. So really, it's a matter of getting honest. And the one thing that I have to laugh at is when people go, well, that can be hard. That takes discipline. It's like, yes. It's, nobody said that it was going to be easy. It's pretty simple, but there's times that it's not easy. And
right.
I can relate it to when I was taking care of my mom. There were days that I just wanted to pull the covers over my head. I didn't want to get out of bed and go, you know, have to do wound care for her one more time because she had several major surgeries. And yet, there was a commitment. My commitment was to give my mother 100%. And so really it's looking at, what do we say we want, and are the actions and the behaviors that we have on a daily basis moving us closer or further away? And it's just about getting honest. I mean, we can BS ourselves till the cows come home, but how honest are we getting with ourselves?
Well, and that's just the question. Are there catalysts, or do people just kind of wake up one day and say, I've had it. I've had it with me. I've had it with everything. I'm just done. I mean, do they have to hit rock bottom, or are there some steps that they can take to say, okay, yeah, it's hard and it requires discipline, but maybe you can take these baby steps, because not everybody is disciplined.
I think
most people
both.
Aren't.
I think
okay.
both, and actually, I've been in recovery for 31 years. I actually really do go to 12-step programs, and
okay.
when I finally hit that place where I said enough is enough, my life was spinning out of control. I was totally in the victim mentality mode. I couldn't figure out why life was happening the way it was, and fortunately, I had some pretty good mentors who said, you know, it's your doing. Look at the actions that you're taking. So in some cases, it will be that we have to totally hit the wall. We have to hit rock bottom. In other cases, when we get a little smarter, we can look to the people that have been there, done that, and we can surround ourselves with the people who are achieving the types of things that we want to achieve. I'm very much into belonging to mastermind groups. I'm very much into having mentors. And my belief is, if I'm going to ask people to pay me for my services, I better be willing to pay other people. And for a couple of years, Suzanne Evans was my coach, and I was in her high-level coaching program. Recently, I just got contracted by her to come in and work with some of her clients, about 200 of them, where 3 times a year I'll be going to a mastermind and I'll be one of the trainers. And that came as a direct result of just basically doing what I do. She saw the quality of person I am, and she said, I want to bring you on board to go ahead and work with some of the clients I have. And what some people fail to realize is we're always being watched. We're always being watched for the behaviors that either will serve us or they are a disservice to us. And many times people lose sight of the fact that opportunity doesn't suddenly just show up at your door. Opportunity is presenting itself itself each and every day in a number of different ways. And it's a matter of, are we in integrity with what we're doing? Do we have congruency in what we say we want to do and who we are and the actions that we're taking? It's very, very simple. And so in answer to the question of do people have to hit bottom, sometimes yes. In other cases, it's a matter of looking to other people who have achieved what they want and using them as a model and being willing to invest in ourselves financially with teachings, with books, seminars, coaches, whatever it may be, so that we can constantly be growing.
And that is beautifully said. I mean, we really have to, with women, with most women, a lot of women that I come across, they're so busy taking care of everybody else. It's just what we do. It's how we operate, I think. And they forget to do what I call healthy selfishness. Take care of yourself. Take that time to go take an Epsom salt bath. Shut the bathroom door and offer to shoot anybody that approaches it.
Absolutely.
I mean, take the time.
Well, I think after we get to a certain age, we just say, oh, the heck with it, and we do that because, I don't know if it's age or what, but, my attitude is I've got to take care of myself first before I can take care of anybody else.
That's exactly right. And I love what you say about, masterminding and mentoring. I've been doing the same thing. Now, when I first started out, that was not available. It just wasn't. I mean, Internet, well, we barely had GUI, G-U-I, Graphical User Interface. I mean, we had blue and white websites. That's what we had. And I don't mean
I'm embarrassed to think of the first website I had. It was, little construction workers where we had under construction and we had little worms coming out. I don't what were we thinking? But
I know, but it worked at the time. But all that being said, we did not have access unless we were in a local networking group.
Right.
But we couldn't get a hold of a mentor or a mastermind online. Now that proliferates. You can go into a Facebook group. Again, going back to what I said earlier, be careful, what you're paying attention to, because there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of junk out there. But there's a lot of great stuff out there. Some is free, some is not. But you have to take that time to educate yourself, prepare yourself, discipline yourself. I mean, you cannot be an entrepreneur without all of that in play. And that means
Absolutely.
You have to physically take care of yourself as well. And I think, from what I've observed, that's where a lot of entrepreneurs just fall completely off.
Oh,
because
without
they're
a doubt.
So busy.
And, it really is, it's not necessarily our fault. I mean, I have to say that, you look at companies like Monsanto, that they actually have very strategically gotten us addicted to certain foods that really are our downfall. So people need to educate themselves on what they're putting
into
their body, what they're putting into their mind, what they're bringing into their business, who they, like you said, who they're listening to, because there's some really rock-solid mentors out there, and there are some people that they're just smoke and mirrors. And so what I always recommend to people, even before hiring me, I don't take just anybody that wants to be hired by me or they want to hire me. I've had people say, prove to me that I should hire you. And it's like, I'm not here to prove anything. It's like, if you by now don't know that I'm a good fit, then I'm probably not. And also, I want people that are serious players. They're willing to do the work. They're not going to be using excuses as to why things aren't working out. I really, both in the people that I join masterminds with and the people that hire me, I want to make sure that I have people that live with integrity, because I'm not here to fix anybody. I'm here to guide people. I'm here to share information, and I'm here to live by example of what's possible. And, it's so interesting because with the marathon, my coach, I decided I needed to hire a coach, and she kept saying, you need to really focus on what you're eating, you need to do some resistance training, you need to do the power walking, you need to do all three. Well, I focused on the power walking, and although I did finish the marathon, I think I hold the distinction of being the last person in, and as I got really honest about it, I didn't follow everything that she said. So I couldn't blame her and say, well, it was her fault. It wasn't her fault. She gave me the information. What I did with it was up to me.
Right. So why do people, I'm trying to frame this question and be polite.
Don't be polite. Let's just get to the core of it.
You have, listen, I have no filters. I have to stop every once in a while and just pause. My mother has told me all of my life that my mouth is going to get me in trouble. My feet can't leave me out of. I'm still pretty quick, but it's going to happen one day, I promise you. Okay, so I see a lot of this on Facebook in particular. Facebook seems to be a dumping ground for people who want to whine. Drives me crazy. If I listen to you whine once, the second time I just block you. I don't play. I don't want that junk in my life.
Right.
For the same reason I don't watch the news. I cut off cable a long time ago. Garbage in, garbage out. I'm not playing that game. One of the things that I see constantly is people say, oh, God, I just don't feel good. I've got to finish this, you know, insert project here. And I look at their picture and go, well, no shit, Sherlock.
No shit, Sherlock, yeah.
You see what I mean?
Gee,
about
I wonder why.
It's like, really? I mean, you know, you're 100 pounds overweight. Your skin is blotchy. You cannot possibly feel good. I mean, if your body is that inflamed, your brain is that inflamed, take care of yourself. Why aren't you taking
Absolutely.
Care of yourself? And I don't get it.
Well, you know, and this is where we have to get really honest about what we're doing. For example, one of the things that tends to happen as we get older is, and it's based a lot on the foods that we eat, is the arthritis, the inflammation of our joints and all that. And we can say, oh, gosh, you know, I've got this problem. Let me go get a drug for that. Instead of saying, okay, what am I doing that might be contributing to this? Because you look at the health of our society, and kids nowadays have the onset of adult diabetes. And that's not by chance. That happened because of the kinds of foods that we have, because parents didn't choose to give their kids the healthiest meals. We've become a fast food society. And believe me, I've been guilty of it. I mean, I've gone through times where I've been very healthy and other times I've been very unhealthy. During the time that I was taking care of my mom, I really used food to comfort myself, and it started showing. It was like, oh, my gosh. And so it was really up to me to look at that and say, okay, what am I going to do about it? And again, one of the reasons that I've decided to go pretty public with the whole health and fitness thing, and again, not being an expert, but just sharing what I'm doing, and I've got a Facebook page on it. It's called Women's Health and Fitness. And it's primarily for mature women, and I always crack myself up when I say I'm a senior citizen in some circles, but the reality is that it will help me to stay the course, because and my partner wife, I actually got married about a year ago legally in Oregon.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We've been together 26 years, so it was about time. But she was asking me the other day, why are you being so public about it? And I said, well, you know me well enough to know that if I don't make a public commitment, that I can fool myself. And so that's one of my checks and balances. It's like me really knowing what I need to do in order to be my best. And so if people have certain strategies and they know that will work for them and it's not going to hurt anybody, why not do it? You know, it's really like somebody who does tend to indulge a little bit too much in alcohol. If they know that's a problem, do something about it. If they tend to have a problem with sugar and they know that, don't have the sugar around. And that's my big thing, is like really have to look at what do I surround myself with spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. I was talking with a client the other day about you won't find Nordstrom quality clients in Walmart. It probably isn't going to happen. So if you want to find clients that are of a higher level, you have to figure out where they are and you have to be there. You have to be seen there. And I have another client who was going to do a mastermind, and we were talking about locations that she was going to do it at. And she was looking at a location that was maybe a difference of maybe $400 or $500 for one place, and then the other one was $400 or $500 more. And I said, let's forget the price. Let's look at the experience. What is the experience you want to create for the people coming to the mastermind? What are you going to be offering them to enroll them in, and will the lower priced location set the stage and set the tone for that level of coaching? And so she decided to go with the higher priced one because she was looking for higher priced clients. So, you know, we really have to look at all the things that we're doing that create the environment that we want. And again, what is it that you want to create? It doesn't mean that everybody has to live at the same level as each other. It's just a matter of what do you want to create in your life, and are you honoring that by your actions?
And I think that's a big message, because as entrepreneurs, especially virtual entrepreneurs, as most of us are these days, at least the people that I work with seem to be, it's very, very easy to say, oh, I'm going to create a lifestyle business, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, not realizing that we work far harder than a 40-hour-a-week employee. I mean, we put in the hours. I don't know about you. I'm up and down all night. I may be buying a domain name at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's just my little squirrel brain doesn't rest. So I get up and down.
Well,
all
and it's
time.
Really hard to know how many hours we work, because, like, after 19 years in business, I moved my office out of my home. I have an actual office space in a brick and mortar building, and I did that because I wanted to have a separation from where is my work time and where is my personal time, and yet I can be doing something at home that could be considered work, but it's something I like. Studying, for example, that is a part of what I do in my business. I'm constantly learning so I can be on the leading edge of what's going on. So sometimes it's hard to know how much we work, but one thing I know is by moving my office out of my home, it really has made a difference. And how long I'm going to do that for, I don't know. We're coming up on about 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years of me being off-site, and I really love it. But it always surprises me when somebody comes into my office and they go, what do you do? And it's like, well, what are you doing here? Because I very rarely have people come to my office. When I have client VIP days, they do come here. So that's been a really nice shift for me, rather than renting a boardroom or a hotel room. I bring them right to my office. But we don't really know how long we work. It'd be interesting to track that.
I couldn't even begin to track it. When I tell you my little squirrel brain doesn't shut down, I'm not kidding. And since I'm a logical, linear, analytical person who is not particularly emotional, I work all the time. It's what I do. It's my passion. Now, if you want me to sit down and watch a tearjerker movie with you, ain't going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I will get bored, fall over, drool, go to sleep. Or leave.
Well,
I just can't do it.
You know, I'm actually the same way. I can say, okay, I'm going to watch this movie, and I find myself throughout the movie, I get up and I'm doing things, and I'm like on my laptop, like doing whatever, writing an article, and it's like, so my attention span is pretty short too, but that really does lead back to the whole topic of having discipline in what we're doing, so that we can do more in a shorter period of time and have that time off. And for me, it's like one of the things that we recently did is we got a couple of kayaks. We live right across from a beautiful river, and so we got some kayaks, and I'll tell you, that is a way that I unwind, is just go near the water. The reason I do my power walking in the morning, it starts my day off great. I really get into that space of appreciation and just looking around and going, wow, this is a pretty cool life that I've created. And I have to say that my life is a pretty cool life. Some people wouldn't want to live out in a rural community like we do, but it works for me. I used to live in San Francisco, and I loved it when I lived there. But for me, where I'm at in my life today, that just doesn't work for me. So I think people have to identify what's important to them and then honor that. One of the things that I know works really well are vision boards. Before Karen and I moved up to Oregon, we actually put a vision board together of the kind of house we wanted. We had one horse at the time. We now have three horses, and horses were a part of the lifestyle. Animals are definitely a part of my lifestyle. My guilty pleasure is definitely rescue animals. But putting a vision board together helps you to get clarity on what it is you really want in your life.
I have done that. You know who taught me that was, what is his name? John Assaroff.
Oh,
he had
a great
article years ago when his little boy, when they moved into their house.
Yes.
And his little boy opened the box and found the picture of the house that they actually wound up living in. So, I mean, that stuck with me. I went, okay, that works. And I have had a vision board forever. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
And I will tell anybody who will listen, you can't hit a target you can't see. If you can't see it in your mind's eye and you are not focused on it, you're not going to hit a target. That's just all there is to it.
Well, you know, and it's so interesting. When we get that clarity, things will show up in the strangest ways. Just yesterday, I had a situation where I try to go out really early in the morning for my walks because it's like today we're going to hit close to 100. And so I wanted to make sure that I got my walk in before it got too hot. Well, yesterday, I had a few delays of what was going on, and we've got quite a few animals, so you have to feed the animals and do that kind of stuff. And I left about 45 minutes to an hour later than I normally leave. And I've been wanting to get a 4-gallon, it's a put-it-on-your-back weed dispenser, weed killer dispenser. And I don't use anything that's toxic. I actually use vinegar and all that. But I thought, I want one of those, put it on your back. And I love gardening. So it was like, okay, I got to go to the store and get that. Well, I'm walking by a neighbor's house, and they're starting a garage sale. And one of the first things she brings out is the very thing I wanted. And I said, is that a weed killer? And she goes, yes, it is. I said, how much are you asking for it? And now this is normally the kind that I wanted is about $80 to $100. And she said, well, what do you want to pay? And I said, no, tell me what you want. She goes, $5. And I thought, okay, $5 is it. And I said, I'll come back later. And I thought, isn't that odd? If I had not delayed and gone by her house at the moment that I did, I would not have seen that. And it's kind of like life really is imperfection that way if we're open to it. And, you know, I could have gone down to the store and bought one, but I just hadn't gotten around to it. And so life brought it right to me for $5. And I thought, now that's a gift. And that's another thing that I really try to make people aware of is, are you giving thanks for the blessings that show up? Let's say that you find a dollar. And you go, oh, a dollar, that's really great. Well, you're going to be blessed with more. But if you say, oh, it's only a dollar, why isn't it 20? Well, the universe is going to pull that away and say, well, you didn't even appreciate when I gave you a dollar. Why should I give you 20? So I really think that gratitude is a huge part of creating a successful life, because the more that you're grateful for, the more you have to be grateful for. It's just a universal law that energetically we start attracting more to ourselves.
Absolutely. And you know what I have found over the years of my life is that there will be an instinct that just pops up in me. I'll be heading for the bedroom, or I'll be heading for the kitchen, and all of a sudden I'll veer off and go do something I had no intention of doing because some little instinct told me to do it. And this happened to me over the weekend. I went to my sideboard, and this is a personal family story, but I went to the sideboard in my dining room. I mean, I open this thing up on holidays. It's where I keep the 4th of July stuff and the Christmas napkins. I mean, it's a sideboard. You don't use them. They're storage, right? So I veered off over there for no known reason to me, and I opened it up, and in that top drawer is this 100-year-old decanter that has been in my family for about 100 years. My father sent it to me decades ago. I put it in because I hate it. I think it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And I put it in the sidebar, the drawer in the sideboard, you know, not knowing what to do with it, but you know, it's a family thing. I can't get rid of it.
Right.
And I
went,
huh. So I picked it up, and it's a little soft-paste porcelain. My great-grandfather, somebody picked it up in the Philippines. And I, you know, put the little shot glasses that go around it, and it's an ugly little thing, I'm telling you. And I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my siblings. I said, do y'all remember this? And my brother was like, oh, I thought he was going to cry. He said, oh, I didn't know that still existed. It's in a box. It's going to him.
Nice.
He is so grateful for that. And for the rest of the day, Kathleen, and I know this sounds kind of silly or even wimpy, I kept saying to whoever gave me that thought, because it didn't come to me on my own, whatever guide, spirit, whoever gave me that thought, thank you, because that meant a lot to my brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that doesn't sound wimpy to me at all, because I really believe that we are being guided at all times. And
oh, yeah.
Again, it's really just being open to it.
We have to be, because, I mean, and this is going to sound a little bit woo-woo, but if it is, oh, well. I don't for a moment believe that we are the only, we're not alone. It is arrogant to think that we're alone, that we don't have a higher power or guides or spirits, or God could be an alien. I don't know. But we're not alone. I don't think, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's ghosts wandering around, but. Still.
Yeah, there's a great show called Aliens Unleashed, I think, and actually they have proof of different life on other planets and life that visits us, and you know, whether it's true or not, if it works, for us. And
it works
gives
for
us
me.
Some kind of hope. Go for
right.
it, you know, because I do believe that we are surrounded by energies and spirits, and you know, there that for me, my life works better when I'm connected to a higher power. You know, these are all the things that for me work. If somebody believes it, great. If they don't, that's okay too. It's
exactly.
not about me trying to convince anybody of anything, but I think through living our lives a certain way, that we do impact people and we do make a difference. And, you know, so it's really just looking for ways to make life complete every single day, because you never know when it's going to end. And so the best thing that we can do is live with so much passion today in whatever we're doing, whether it's working in our garden, whether it's picking up after our animals. You know, I mean, we have so many animals that that's a constant task for us. And I have found myself at times actually being grateful for that opportunity, because one, I can walk and I can bend over to do what I need to do, and two, I've got the animals who just are amazing. And, you know, so for me, I just prefer to put it in the perspective of what can I be grateful for today.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I have noticed? And this is, I have been watching this over the years because I've been online for a number of years. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. I is one. The people that I find are the most successful at whatever it is that they're doing are heart-based, they're spiritual-based, they're spirit-based. They can
Absolutely.
Be logical, linear, analytical, I am. They can be, you know, big old fluff balls and just happy to see everybody, but they're spiritually inclined, whatever that means to them, which means that they're open to a lot of things, they're good people, and they're here to give, I find.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And that brings
Absolutely.
Me back to what I wanted to ask you at the top of the show is, we all have gifts. Some of us have multiple gifts. Kathleen, how do we identify those? Every once in a while, somebody will say to me, oh, Denise, that's such a gift you have. I'm like, what? Really?
Well, oftentimes
it's so easy not to identify our own.
Well, you know, and many times the things that we are most gifted with, we take for granted. And usually,
right.
one thing that Suzanne really drilled home with everybody she was mentoring is what comes easiest for you is what you charge the most for, because other people don't find it easy. And a great example is recently, well, this goes back a little over a year ago. Karen and I had said, okay, no more animals, that's it, we're done. And God had a whole different plan, because 2 days later, this little thing shows up at our doorstep. Literally, it was a thing. We couldn't tell what kind of dog it was. And so we took it down to the vet, and we took it down to the groomer. It turns out it's a Shih Tzu, a full-blood toy Shih Tzu. And apparently she had been used as a breeder dog. She's about 10 years old, and she had tumors all over her belly, and she had terrible infections in her eyes and everything. And the vet said, yeah, maybe a week or two is how long she'll be around. So we were prepared Aww. To do hospice for her. Well, as it turns out, just by giving her a lot of love, and I have a client who does remote healing, and she and her husband worked on the dog, which we called Delaney. There's a whole story to that. But I just started sharing stories about Delaney online, and I decided we paid for the first surgery. It was $1,000, and we needed to get a second surgery. She had so many tumors it couldn't be done in one surgery. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do a campaign online. I'm going to put a product together, and I'm going to let people know that when they buy the product, that money is going to go towards her surgery. I was blown away by the response I got. So we more than paid for her surgery for both of them, and that was well over a year ago. She's as healthy as can be. We had dental work done on her. She's got 5 teeth, but she is such a delight. And what's interesting is, as a result of doing that fundraiser and a few other things to do with animals, I get a call from this woman who she's one of the founders of Blog Paws, which is a community of animal bloggers, and they have an annual conference. She said, will you come out and speak at the conference? And I said, well, I'm not an animal blogger. She goes, no, but you know how to make money online. You're very passionate about animals, and we'd love to have you come out to the conference. So just about 3 weeks ago, I was in Nashville speaking at their conference. That opened up some other opportunities to do with the animal community. I have another animal conference that I'm going to be a keynoter at in August in Portland, and all these things are opening up simply because I was doing what I was called to do. And this is where a lot of times people miss the opportunities that show up, is if you're authentic about who you are, if you're transparent about who you are, and you just let people know you as a personality, amazing things will happen. And again, this really is a shift from what I grew up with, whereas you have a real separation of business and personal life. Today, people want to know who you are. And they want, like when I shared about Karen and I getting married, it was amazing how many people supported us in that. When I first shared about my relationship, I actually had a big drop-off from my opt-in list. And I thought, you know, so be it. Because if people are offended by that, which I know some people are, that's okay. That's their choice. But the amount of support and community that was built as a result of that is incredible. So, you know, for me, it's like my fitness. I'm pretty visible around my relationship, my dogs, my horses, my passion for my garden. I share that kind of stuff just in passing, and it creates a community. So what I encourage people to do is really look at what are you holding back and why? And one of the things I was taught many years ago is, what is your motive for what you're doing? If you're going to do something and you're wondering, is this what I should be doing? Ask yourself, what's my motive? And if your motive is clean, then it's probably the best thing to do. If there's an ulterior motive, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Well, if it's just for the money, that's a big
right.
one. If you're doing
Absolutely.
It just for the money, let me tell you, people will figure that out. People
Absolutely.
Can sniff that. They know that you're not in it, you know, to really share their, you know, your passion or your wisdom or your tips or your advice. One of the things that, you know, I'm hearing you say this but without actually saying it, is that people hear you. I mean, let's look at our politicians. I don't ever listen to those people, not one of them. But I sure watch them. I
uh-huh.
watch the heck out of them. I don't listen to a darn thing they say. Yeah, I know better. And it's
right.
the same in business. It's the same in an online business. You know, everything is, it's out there on the internet now. People are watching you. And if you're consistent and you're congruent in your personality, in your, you know, your joy, your happiness, you, whatever it is that you're offering, your message, that's going to sink through. I mean, people are going to eventually go, aha, like it did with the, you know, the blog thing that you got to go speak at. And
right.
they were watching
right.
you. They were very aware of it was a different thing, but they were aware of you and they liked you, and that's important. So
and,
you have
and
to
it's
be
incredible.
You.
The, yeah, I've built new relationships as a result of it, new friendships. I have no idea where it's going to go, and that isn't even any of my business at this point. And on the flip side of not doing things for money, you also have to know that a business has to be profitable. Where this is where I
right.
see a lot of women really have a challenge. It's like they're afraid to have the sales conversation. And I was talking with a client recently who we were figuring out, okay, she hits a point where all of a sudden there's a roadblock for her, and it's about the sales conversation. And I said, well, what is coming up? And she goes, well, I don't want to be pushy. And I said, do you believe that what you have to offer is going to make a difference in people's lives? She goes, well, of course I do. And I said, then why are you being so selfish as to not offer them the opportunity to work with you? And many times, you know, we want to have this altruistic type business, but business is about also being profitable, because the more profitable you are, the more good you can do in the world. So, it, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword on that, where it can't be just about the money, but it has to be about the money. And so...
Oh, yeah. You have to be profitable. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And Kathleen,
absolutely.
Is this something that women are guilty of more than men?
You know, I would... A part of me wants to say yes, but then I've seen men. I just talked with a young man who's a videographer, and he said his hardest thing is to ask for the sale. And so I, you know, I would say some men have a problem with it. I would lean more towards it is more of a female issue than male.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think once we realize that what we have to offer can make a difference, it becomes a non-issue. And it's really
yeah.
about just, yeah, it's having a conversation. It's not going from
exactly.
one persona into another. And this is where I see people really challenged. It's like a Jekyll and Hyde. Like, okay, I'm going to teach you this information, and then now I have to ask for the sale, so I have to be a whole different personality. And it's like, no, you're just having a conversation with people.
Well, here's my attitude about it. If you know your value proposition and you are comfortable and confident in your own value proposition, stating that should not be an issue.
Absolutely.
And you're not even having to ask for the sale. You are merely giving that information to the other person and letting them make that decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's also knowing when to walk away. I did a mastermind retreat recently, and I do small masterminds about once a quarter. And people pay to be at the mastermind, and then I make an offer for a few of the people to go into a higher-end program, whether it be a six-month or a year-long. And I like putting people into a six-month so we can kind of date and see if we like each other. And one woman, she was kind of on the fence of, like, should I or shouldn't I? And I said, actually, at this time, I don't think it's the best fit for you. And I probably could have persuaded her to enroll, but I really didn't feel that she was ready for the type of coaching that we would be doing. And so I said, you know, here's a few things that I'm going to recommend before you and I work together. And I just gave her a few strategies, and I said, maybe in about 6 months we can have this conversation again. And what I've learned is you have to be willing to walk away from the business that is not the best fit. And the challenge that I see when somebody is just starting out or they're struggling financially, they think they have to take everything that comes along. And the reality is when you can get really clear on who you're most able to serve and who you really want to work with and who wants to work with you, you're going to have enough business to create that lifestyle business.
I see that way too often in the virtual assistance industry.
Yes.
They just take whatever comes along, and it almost never works out well.
Right.
It's just,
right.
And I understand that you need to get the business, you need to make the money, but there are other ways to do it. Maybe, you know, apprentice with another VA or, you know, come in as a subcontractor. There are other ways to do it to get your skill set up, but
right.
It's tough. It's tough to turn away from that money, but you're right. I do it too. You know, I will tell people you're not ready, and here's what we can do about that. One of the things, we're running out of time. I told you this would be a fast hour.
It went fast. My gosh.
Yeah, I know. You've got to come back. And, of course, I do that to you on the radio, so you can't say, well, no, I don't want to.
I'd love to come back. Well, I was thinking we should call this An Hour in the Life of Denise and Kathleen. And
I know. Some days, you know, we think, okay, we're going to talk about really cool stuff, how to do this and how to do that, and then we go off on a tangent. But those are the most fun interviews, I have to say. Okay,
oh, I've had a great time.
Oh, me too. And listen, really, I do want you to come back if you don't mind.
I would love to.
Okay, great. Listen, I'm reading in your book, and I love what you say about far too many people waste time mulling over what they should or should not be doing. And this kind of goes to, you know, what is our messaging? What is our true passion? What is our true calling? And I'm decidedly guilty of that. My problem is I have too many thoughts in my head, and trying to strain through them sometimes is like, oh, gosh, Denise, really? I mean, this will tell you what a workaholic I am. My lists have lists. They're color-coded. They're annotated. They're beautiful. They're a work of art. They're embarrassing. So what are some steps that people can take to get their butts out of the chair and actually start creating?
You know, that is a great question, Denise. And I'd say the first thing is to actually prioritize what it is that's most important. If you could only do one thing, what would it be? And I have a client that she shares the story about when we first started working together, she had all these things she was going to do. And I said, if you could only pick one thing, what would it be? And then we started focusing on that. And whenever she gets distracted, we pull her back in. And it's like, wait, we have to get this one thing off and running. And it's like with what I'm doing in around the health and fitness message. I created a Facebook page. I'm doing a 30-day challenge that starts in a week, and I am putting an ethical bribe together, a giveaway together. I'm working with my VA on getting everything set up. And what I did is I just wrote a list of, okay, here are all the things that I need to do. And I paralleled it to anything else I would do to build a portion of my business. And then I started taking action. And what I always recommend is take whatever is the easiest action to take initially, just so that you can get a success under your belt. If I'm talking to somebody about they want to get in good shape, I say, okay, instead of going 10 miles today, take that first block. Just walk a block, have that as your success, and then tomorrow walk two blocks, and the next day walk three blocks. So it's really looking at what are the most evident actions that you can take and taking the first one, so that you feel a sense of success rather than sitting and talking about it and perfecting it, because perfectionism is a killer. It you know, we want to put good stuff out there, but if it has to be perfect, we're never going to launch. And we can stay in creation mode until the cows come home, but if we don't launch something, all we're doing is playing at business. We're not really running a business.
And I'm guilty of that. I am. And it bugs me no end. And my big excuse every day is, oh, well, you know, I got this launch, you know, this website launched last night. Got it done. It's gorgeous. Whew, okay, I've got another one to do in the next couple of days. And I'm always busy on other people's stuff instead of mine. And I am really struggling to get away from that.
And then
I would say, logically,
well, treat yourself like a client. Treat yourself like a client.
I used to, and I got away from that.
Well, and so you have the formula for success, so really it's a matter of you just saying, that's what I'm going to do. You know, it's like that's where we have to get real disciplined.
And I have to because, I mean, my business has grown. I'm in the lucky position of having one of those businesses that just grew organically without me paying much attention to it.
Right, right.
And now I'm wandering around going, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I'm so busy.
Well, one thing I did for my own business, I'm going to start disciplining myself. Something I did that really made a difference is I gave myself a VIP day. I actually brought in one of my assistants, and she was the one who was taking notes, and we were doing flip charts and everything like I would do with a client. I did for myself and made a huge difference. And I'm also very into my whiteboards. It's like I'll map out what I'm doing and reverse engineer it. But part of it is just getting down to business.
Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just actually start doing it. I wanted to ask you, you said earlier, and I know we're no longer streaming, but we're still recording. At the top of the show, you said you're doing resistance training. What are you doing?
I actually, in a portion of my garage, our handyman, he actually built a small gym, and so I do free weights.
I have a gym
in my garage. What's that?
Once I got divorced, I took that half of the garage, and I made a gym in it.
Yeah, that's
the total home gym. I've got a treadmill. I mean, it's wonderful.
So you've got what you need. And
I do.
In my 30s, I was a bodybuilder. I was going to actually compete nationally, and my trainer wanted me to do steroids, and that's where we went our separate ways. He goes, if you don't do steroids, you'll never win. I said, well, I can't, Ben. I just can't do that. But so I, at one point, was very into bodybuilding where I was like 2 to 3 hours a day at the gym. Well, now, you know, my big passion is the walking, and really I have to encourage myself to do the resistance training. But when I do it, I feel so good, and it's just a sense of accomplishment. So I would say have 3 days a week where you do some kind of aerobics, and then 3 days a week where you do resistance training, and then get to a point where you can combine the two, where you do a little bit of aerobics, you do a little bit of resistance training each day.
Right. And you know what's a good start? To the people who are listening to us are going, I don't have a gym in my garage. I don't have time to go to a gym, whatever reasons you have. A good place to start, honestly, is get a little rebounder.
Absolutely.
One of my first pieces of equipment was a rebounder from NEDAC. And I'm telling you, that's the best $300 I've ever spent. Just bounce on it for a few minutes, and all of a sudden you're like, woohoo, you can take
absolutely.
On the world.
There's plenty of things you can do. Go on YouTube and just look for resistance training without weights, and you'll see plenty of videos. I found one that was a 100 squat a day challenge for 30 days, and it's like, oh, my God, the first day I did it, I was like, oh, my gosh. And I got sidetracked. I did it for 3 or 4 days. But, you know, there's plenty of things you can do for yourself that you got to get rid of the excuses. That's the big thing.
Do.
We can find reasons why we can't do something. We have to look for those reasons why we absolutely must. I mean, it's really a matter of choice. And it's a matter of quit whining, quit, you know, saying it can't be done, and look for the absolute reasons why it must be done.
Exactly. And the reason we're talking about this for our audience, the reason we're drilling down so hard on this is because if you don't feel good, if your body doesn't feel good, your brain doesn't feel good, your mind doesn't feel good, your emotions don't feel good, your love life suffers, you don't want to go out and, you know, go to the movies with your friends because you're exhausted all the time.
Right.
How can you build a profitable business if you feel like garbage all the time? And I'm telling you, garbage in, garbage out. No question
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely.
So, and that's why we're talking about this today.
And it's good thing to talk about.
It is, and I think a lot of people know that there's that connection, But they just think, oh, I'm too busy. You know, there's just always a reason. I'm just too busy. I'm, you know, I've got so much going on. I have to tell you, one of my big observations, I wouldn't call it a gripe because it's none of my business, but one, you know, my office is in my home. I hardly ever leave. I'm an introvert big time. I'm an inch away from being a hermit. That's okay. But the thing is, in fact, I've always said, if Amazon will deliver crawfish and fresh lettuce, I'm selling my car. That's it. I'm never coming out again. I'm done. But the thing is, I mean, when I do drive, when I'm, you know, going to the dentist or running errands or whatever I'm doing, it does not matter, Kathleen. It doesn't matter what time of the day I'm driving past McDonald's or any of the fast food places. Those lines are full. It doesn't matter. It's like we've gotten away from the three squares a day or however. We just eat whenever we want. It's almost like it's an impulse.
Oh,
and it's
absolutely
a bad impulse. It's a bad
one.
Well,
I was reading, I think it's in the book called Senior Fitness by Ruth Heydrichs, and she was giving a case study about one hospital that does a lot of open-heart surgery. Well, on the first floor, they literally have a McDonald's, and on the second floor is where people get the surgery. It's like, wow.
You're kidding.
Talk about... Oh, I'm dead serious. And it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, and so here's the thing. We know what the answer is. I mean, we can read all the business books, all the health books, all the spiritual books. We know what the answer is, and we can get more information to enhance that answer. But it's really a matter of what is the quality of life we want. I mean, bottom line, we can make all the excuses in the world, or, again, we can create the reasons why we have to change to live the life that we want. It's just like in a relationship. I've been in a 26 relationship, and it's not by accident. It's because I really have focused on having a great relationship, and there are certain things that you do that make a great relationship and certain things you don't do. One is you don't step out on your spouse. Another thing is that you treat them with respect. And there, one of the things that we make sure we do is say we love each other a lot, we respect each other, we honor what the other person wants to do. That didn't happen by accident. That happened by choice. And so, you know, anything you want, you can have if you're willing to work for it and if you have all the faculties that can make it possible. And so, you know, look at the people that are making it happen and find out what they're doing. And if it makes sense, model after them.
And, yes, absolutely. That's how I started my business. I mean, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I had this brand new computer science degree. So, okay, now what? I did not want to work in somebody else's office. I was the only female in my graduating class. That wasn't fun.
Wow.
It's like, yeah. So now what do I do? And I always wanted to work with a computer. I always wanted to work from home. So I did. I did exactly what you're saying. I focused on what I needed to do to make it happen, not,
right,
you know, what was bothering me about, oh, you know, I've got to have the steady income from the job. And, you know, all of that was important, yes. It went into my planning, yes. But it wasn't my focus. It wasn't in my design to keep doing those things.
Right, right, absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent advice. Kathleen, where can people find you on the web, and tell them where they can find your challenge?
Okay, where they can find me on the web is they can find me at powerupforprofits.com. That's powerupforprofits.com. And where they can find the challenge is they go to Women's Health and Fitness. Now, this is not Women's Health and Fitness magazine. It's Women's Health and Fitness, and you just go facebook.com/maturewomenhealthfitness, and you'll find it. There's a picture of women doing sit-ups, and there's a lot of great information. I've been really filling that particular page with lots of great information, articles I've found. I've got that woman who's doing she's 99 years old, and she's doing her personal best world record. You know, so you'll find a lot of great information there.
Great. Thank you so much. I have really enjoyed this. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. I'm not sure how much our audience got out of it, but
well,
I
hopefully
had a great
they got
time.
Something out of it. And even if one person was listening and we made a difference in that one person's life, we've done our job. So thank
there
you so
go.
Much for inviting me, and I'd love to come back.
Oh, good. I would love to have you back. I'm pretty much booked for the summer now, but in the early autumn, I would love for you to come back, and then we can
Sounds
check
great.
In on your challenge too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
cool.
Go to Women's Health and Fitness on Facebook, and you'll see, again, the women doing sit-ups. And I'd love to have people join in. All they have to do is like the page and look at the video, and they're good to go.
Now, they don't have to be a certain age, yes?
No, anybody. I've got some men who are going to do it, too. So, I mean, you know, men, women, it doesn't matter.
Right. Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Kathleen Gage, and I will see you next week. Kathleen, thank you.
My absolute pleasure, Denise. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.